here. I just wanted to comment on the Santa Claus, but that's out of the meeting.
That's out of order. Okay, thanks. Okay, seeing that we're all here, I'm actually going to do a roll call vote so that we can establish that we can all participate fully in this. So I'm taking it a little bit out of order, just to establish that we can that we're all here and that we can hear and be heard. So I'll take a roll call vote now. Mr. Corson?
I am here.
Ms. Damon?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
And Mr. Mann is here. I think we can all hear and be heard. And the two members of the staff that will be speaking are Marjorie Stratton.
I'm here.
Thank you. And Christine Affont.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay. With that, I will open up item number one, which is a public hearing for special amusement applications. And I'm going to put Marjorie's memo up on the screen. It was very good, Marjorie. I appreciate you digging into that stuff at that level, if I can find it. Do you want to start explaining some of the context of your memo? You're muted, Marjorie.
Mute, unmute. I read through the special amusement ordinance pretty carefully so that I understood what my responsibility is and your responsibility is. And I looked up that section 702, and that section actually has been repealed. So obviously our ordinance needs a little bit of work. And the requirement now is optional for municipalities. We don't really have to have them, but if we do issue special amusement ordinance or special amusement certificates, then we do have to have an ordinance. And our ordinance requires a hearing. The Board of Selectmen shall, prior to the granting of a permit, and after reasonable notice to the municipality and the applicant, hold a public hearing within 15 days. Well, we've gone past the 15 days on some of these. At which hearing the testimony of the applicant and that of any interested members of the public shall be taken. The permit may be granted subject to such conditions and restrictions as the Board of Selectmen may deem necessary. And a permit is valid only for the license year of the applicant's existing liquor license. So that seemed interesting to me because the hall, for instance, doesn't have a liquor license unless you're taking into consideration the little BYOBs that they get occasionally. If somebody wants to rent the hall and have wine and beer or something like that, they just get a little, they get a short-term license from the state. And then the ordinance does say that all the entities have to be in compliance with all of our other codes. It doesn't specifically say that they have to have a fire inspection, but I guess that's always what was assumed. And certainly it's something that we can require. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But we have always required that the applicants have a fire inspection before we issue the permit. So having said that, there are four people that applied for the special amusement license. And I'm just a little unsure if we are really need to do it for the hall and for the boatyard, because they don't have a liquor license to, you know, but maybe they're taking into consideration that they occasionally have beer and wine at those places if they have a special event. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Marjorie on that before we move forward?
Yeah, I have a question.
I hadn't looked at this for a long time, and you can see we carried it over from Cumberland, so that's been a long time. And it used to be a dance hall permit, and then it became a special amusement permit. And I'm not sure exactly when the liquor license aspect came in, but in the years before, when this island was dry, they used to have a special amusement permit because the hall had dances. And so apparently this is all, you know, changed, and nobody, and people haven't thought about it, I guess.
Right.
Well, there is, Jim Butler, our code officer, said that entities like the Shebeagan are supposed to get a dance hall permit or something from the state. But I don't know a lot about it. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, because we used to have something called that locally.
Yeah, we did. We pretty much have to follow our ordinance right now because we don't have the power to change our ordinance, I don't believe. But it is something we should probably revisit during the course of this calendar year. And if we have a special town meeting to handle other ordinances, we may want to put somebody on figuring out how we should do this for now. The only time we've ever really used it for anything is I think we put a restriction at one point on the slow bell so that they had to stop the entertainment. I think that was done through this ordinance. Does anybody have a recollection of that?
Yes, that was at 11. They're supposed to stop the music at 11. It's right. My recollection.
Okay.
And I think we did something with the hotel once too.
It could be. I don't recall. Okay.
I agree with Marjorie. This needs, or Herb, I think this needs to probably, we need to think about it. We need to figure out what is it we want it to do. And if we want it places where they get those permits, then we can always add that to it. We can always make it, more inclusive. If that's what we decide we want to do.
Go ahead.
I do have some updates that I did get the fire inspections on the hall and the slow bell. And May Hall did pay the fee since I wrote this.
Okay.
And Glenn called me or emailed me, and he said that he would like to proceed with the application just in case the hospitality industry changes a bit and they do want to open.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay, so are we all in agreement that we should proceed under the current ordinance and we can just go through these in the order that they were, that they're posted here is fine with me. Are we good to go with that? Okay, is there somebody here to represent the Shebeag Island Hall Community Center? If you are, you could raise your hand. I see no representative. Who's on the, is there a name on the application, Marjorie?
Sam McLean.
Okay. So I guess we just can open it up to public comment. Beverly's got her hand up. And now down. Okay. and now up. I'll let you talk, Beverly. You should be able to talk if you unmute.
I think I can, right?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I just want to say I'm the treasurer. I'm not on the board right now, but I'm the one that has been writing the checks and filling out the applications and stuff. And did you have a question for me?
Well, as we open up the public hearing, I just want to give somebody the opportunity to respond to any comments. You're free to stay unmuted and do that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. So other comments from the board first. Jay?
Herb, I guess my question is this. Is the way the law currently exists, anybody that does not have a liquor license doesn't need to apply for one of these. Is that correct?
That's technically what Marjorie has said.
That's in our ordinance.
Okay, by our ordinance, that if you don't have a liquor license, you don't need to worry about this.
Go ahead and finish.
So if you have, let's say you're at the boatyard and going to have a party, whoever has the party gets a BYOB license. That not the boatyard, but the people doing it. And the boatyard doesn't need a special amusement license for this. I mean, I had a conversation with Paul about this earlier today, briefly. It's a $10. His attitude, for instance, is it's a $10 license. Who cares? If I'm not misquoting him, if he's on tonight. The point being is that we seem to be beating a dead horse somewhat here.
We may be. I mean, it's kind of implied. I mean, a permit shall be valid only for the license year of the applicant's existing liquor license. So one possible interpretation, as Marjorie pointed out, is if they support BYOBs, that is technically a liquor license, even though it isn't the applicant's, it's their premises. So, it could be read that way. And I guess at this point, I would favor being consistent with past practices myself and, change the language to be clearer as we go forward. Anybody else?
No, I agree with you. I mean, that's what we've been doing even when we were part of Cumberland. And if we want to change it, I think that we need to have a workshop or something on this.
Okay.
So there's nothing, like you said, it's only $10.
And yeah, I think we can dispense of these pretty quickly. Are there any questions regarding the application for the Chabig Island Hall Community Center from the board right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would take questions or comments from the public regarding the special amusement permit for the Chabig Island Hall Community Center. Anybody? Beverly, I see your hand up again. You can unmute if you'd like to talk.
I was just going to say that anytime there's somebody is going to be having alcohol, they're required to get that permit from the state now. It's something that we just started doing the last few years. I think the Niblet does the same thing. But I don't see any problem with paying the $10 to let you know that we're in the business of holding these types of events occasionally.
Right. And according to our ordinance, we can put restrictions on the special amusement aspect of it. So if you do pay the $10, you're subjecting yourselves to the possibility that we'd have to do it tonight, I think, that we would apply some sort of restrictions or something like that. So it gives us an opportunity to regulate any of these.
I think it's...
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Beverly. Oh, you're muted again. Okay. Any other comments from the public?
Well, Beverly's got her hand up again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bev.
I clicked the wrong thing.
That's okay. Go ahead. Oh, she clicked the wrong thing again. Oh, the hand was the wrong thing. I got it. Okay. Seeing no comment, I'm going to close that portion of the hearing for the Chabig Island Hall Community Center. And I am going to take up the Chabig Island Inn. Is the Glenn in the attendees waiting, the general manager? If it is, you can raise your hand. And
he's got his hand up.
He does. Go ahead and unmute, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Okay, are there questions from the board regarding the special amusement permit that we're offering to the Chabig Island Inn tonight?
No.
Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I have, it's nothing, you know, it's nothing major, but I do have to say that that when you're up and running, and we wish you, you know, we wish you best of luck about getting up and running at some point, that I personally get a lot of complaints about the sound, the music, and I'm just putting that out there. And music travels on Shebig, and a lot of the neighbors, and it travels as far as my house, which is a mile away. So just something to be thinking about when you open up again.
All right. Thank you, Donna.
Okay.
Speaking as someone who has a fairly close relationship with the inn in terms of distance and time, they've been, for the most part, they've been really, sit down, Glenn, you're going to hate to hear this, they've been really pretty good about things. You know, by 11 o'clock, it's all quiet on the Western Front. And I know that they've got a track record that hasn't been enviable, but they seem, over the last couple of years, to have moderated the type of events, or not necessarily type of events, but they've moderated the way they having been in a business where you had music at night, they cut it off at 11 o'clock and it's fine. It may be loud as hell until 11 o'clock, but after that, it's fine.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions from board members? Okay, I'll open it up to the public. Any members of the public would like to speak specifically about the special amusement permit for the Shebig Island Inn? You can raise your hand now. Okay, I don't see any hands. Okay, I think we're good with that. We're gonna, when we come out of the public hearing, we will take some motions and votes on these things. But for right now, we're just doing the public hearing portion. So having hearing no other comments, we'll close that portion and we will open the portion for the Shebig Island Boatyard LLC. Is there anybody here to represent the boatyard? Okay, you are recognized.
Good evening, it's Paul.
Hi, Paul, thank you for joining us. Questions from the board regarding the special permit, special amusement permit for the boatyard? Seeing none, I will open it up to the public. Anybody would like to speak specifically on the special amusement permit application for the Shebig Island Boatyard, please raise your hand at this point. Okay. I see none. Okay. Thank you, Paul. I think we'll close this portion of the hearing.
Thank you, Herb.
Yep. Thank you. Next up is the Slow Bell Cafe. Is there a representative of Slow Bell? May Hall is on, allowed to talk. If you unmute May, we can hear you.
Hi.
Hi, May. Thanks for joining us.
Yep.
Members of the board, any questions or comments?
I just have a question. Are the licenses up to date now?
So they're completing them this week. There were a couple of little glitches because of the swap over from Jonathan's licensing and to mine, and so they're finishing them up. I spoke to Joel Demers at the state this afternoon, and Carol Gott as well, and so they're finishing it up this week. We won't be open this weekend, but we'll be open the following week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions, comments from the board? Okay, seeing David?
Just curious about the fee. Has that been paid now?
Yes. I did do updated, but yes, it is.
You mentioned that. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's clarification. Okay, seeing no more questions or comments from the board, I will open it up to the public. Any members of the public who would like to speak on the special amusement permit for the Slow Bell Cafe, please raise your hands now. Okay, I don't see any hands. Okay, I'll ask one more time for any comments on any of these applications before I close the public hearing.
I just have one question, and this is probably a silly question, but I noticed the Boat Yacht has a convenience store license. So is that in lieu of a Vitula's license?
Well, no, it's interesting. When I started to, as the ordinance requires, ask for the Department of Health and Human Services certificate, the Boat Yard and the store actually have a certificate from the Department of Agriculture. Their certificate doesn't come from the Department of Health and Human Services. And so it's just the difference in the operations and what license they're required to have. Does that answer your question or?
It does. I just had never heard of that before, and so that's interesting.
Well, I've had a real education about it.
Well, you've educated us too.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Okay, seeing no further comments from the public or the board, I will close this portion of the meeting, close the public hearing, and we will continue on with the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll call the public meeting to order at 6:22. We've done the roll call vote. We don't need to do that again. Public comments for items not on the agenda. If anybody has a comment for an item not on the agenda, please feel free to raise your hand at this time. Courtney Dowdy. Go ahead, Courtney. You'll need to unmute. Yep.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. So I'm coming tonight. I appreciate the work of the town and the CTC working together to figure out the emergency procedures. And I feel from that, though, I feel the CTC created a policy and the town had a bit of an uproar about it. So it was deemed necessary for the town and the CTC to work together, which was greatly appreciated by all of us. And I guess I just have a question moving forward. I know CTC is part of the CART committee, but does the town have a stake in policies that are being created by the CTC that are, you know, that actually affect our community?
That's a good question. Anybody on the board care to respond to that?
I'll respond. I don't think that the town's in a position to regulate what they come up with for policies. That doesn't mean we can't have input and that we can't brainstorm. And, you know, we have done that with the CART committee where by CTC has said, you know, this is an issue. What do you guys think about it? And, you know, David's on there, Marjorie's on there. I think they can kind of agree that, you know, there's that kind of discussion, but ultimately it's up to their board what they have for policies.
Okay.
Anybody else? Let me let other people respond first, Courtney. Mark?
I would agree with the first part of Donna's statement that the town does not really have the ability to control what policies come out of the board of directors of the CTC, but specifically with the non-transport policy that the Chabig Transportation Company had in place for a while, there was some concern if that directly affected or violated, if you will, our memorandum of understanding with them about service for rescue service with the company. So that is where our direct concern came from, you know, basically from that.
Anybody else? I guess I would say, sort of as a general rule, and this has been a real learning experience for me in terms of what leadership is and what the role of the Board of Selectmen is in leading a community. We certainly have an interest in protecting the safety of our constituents and of the inhabitants of the island and even the transient inhabitants of the island. But there are, we really don't have a authority to reach into another organization and exert any sort of power. So it's, or any sort of influence. But we can, and especially under the emergency ordinance, we can take measures that protect the public safety. For example, the Chandler's Cove issues that we've been having where too many people are congregating down there when the boat comes and there was no organization to that. We felt like we had to intervene on that based on public comments. And I think other matters of public safety like that, I think the town should certainly feel compelled to do what we can in terms of controlling, you know, what we can do under the law in terms of controlling traffic, in terms of controlling access to places that are under the emergency ordinance. But beyond that, I agree that we can suggest, as Donna says, we can make suggestions and try to exert some influence that way. The board would have to do that as a whole, write a memo as a whole, and approve it as a whole and participate in that. We've had some difficulty coming to agreement as a board on some aspects of those things. But that would be the way we would do it. Courtney, does that answer your question, that first question?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have another one?
Well, no. I think, I just heard you mention about the emergency ordinance and speaking about traffic and access to the island. I just would think that some of these policies also address that. And as in terms of being stakeholders, I completely agree. I understand it's a separate entity organization. However, I know we're in a new landscape, and I just feel like with COVID-19, there is opportunity as we are a stakeholder. I mean, we have a budget line item in the budget that taxpayers pay into. They park at this, they tie up at the Stone Pier, municipal pier. They utilize town parking lots. And so I do believe, especially with the recent policy that was just released, the traffic coming and going from the island should, the town selectmen should be able to have a say regarding these policies and aimed commuters and residents.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Donna.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there something specific, Courtney, that you're concerned about that we could maybe help you if we understood what it was? Which is there a specific policy?
Yeah, the commuter that they are giving, precedence to commuters leaving Chabig, but not coming home. If we have a healthcare worker on this island working a 24-hour shift, and five golfers can take up a spot over them coming to Chabig, I think that traffic. I mean, this is June 3rd, and we're having this issue. I just believe in July and August, it's going to be a lot worse.
Do you know of an incident where a commuter has been left on the mainland because of that?
No, but they are at, I do know one of our commuters is pretty distraught every night because she used to be able to make the five, but she can't beat the bus. And the bus makes it so there's 20 exactly people these past couple of days at the Stone, on the other side. Uh-huh. So she now is taking the 6:30.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. I see two other hands. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, what I was going to say is we did, this was run by the CART committee because actually one commuter was not able to get on the boat going to work. And that's why they they instituted this because they felt it was important to get ready to get to work. The problem, and we can bring it back up again about it, you know, and ask for some more clarification about coming home. But it's really a slippery slope. They're hoping the bus will be later to get there, but you know, it some people I know, having commuted many years, you know, you kind of have it figured out and you cut it to get exactly to make the boat, and you don't have a lot of leeway. So
I may not be up to date. I may not be up to date on the policy. I thought they could only bring 9 people in a bus. Is that not true anymore?
Yeah, no, they can bring 20 on the boat. So what I think Courtney's saying, I don't want to speak for her, but that by the time the person gets there, they're afraid that there would be 20 people.
Oh,
and they have had a couple of days. And Carol told us at the CART meeting that she has contacted the state to see if she can get and have them come and look at the boat and see if she can get more people on the boat. You know, if they will raise that 20 limit.
Okay.
And so that's in the works. So I don't know if that would solve the problem, but it would help.
Thank you. Courtney, anything else before I let somebody else speak?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. May Hall has her hand, and Carol White, I'm going to call on May first. Go ahead, May. You'll need to unmute.
I think I'm muted. Am I muted?
Courtney, I can hear you.
Sorry, I think I got it.
Yep, we can hear you, May. We can.
Okay. I was just saying that I was the commuter who couldn't go off yesterday morning. I missed the first run of the 8 o'clock boat. I ended up getting a ride over by Alex Todd. And then when I came back last night, I didn't make the 20 cut for the 4 o'clock boat and had to wait till the 5. So I communicated that with Carol, and I think that's, you know, why they were working on the policies around that. I just wanted to let you know the history there a little bit.
Okay. Thank you, May.
Yep.
Okay. Carol White.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I guess I wanted to follow up with Courtney, and I was planning to speak tonight separately, but I mean, it's sort of along the same line. And I have concerns as a member of the school committee. It came up last night. You know, if the kids are back in session and we have students going back and forth, we certainly don't want students stranded on the mainland because, you know, they're there a little bit later than someone on a bus. And it seems like we should really consider some policies where residents and students and municipal staff, which would include teachers and public works employees, whatever, would have priority, particularly if we have a lot of contractors coming back and forth. And so I think this needs more exploration and discussion. And we are concerned about how we might be able to transport what I believe is 30 students back and forth in the fall. So I do feel like these policies get made primarily by CTC and imposed upon the community, and they have a significant impact on the community. And I would prefer that the, you know, select board takes a little bit more of a role in at least discussing them with them. And I would agree with Courtney that the town owns the wharf, which the CTC berths at. And, you know, it isn't as though we have no influence over the process. So that's my personal perspective on that issue, you know, relative to sort of the commuter transport, student transport, but I think it's a issue we need to address as a community. The other thing that I was going to bring up tonight is I'm personally a little bit disturbed by this policy of reducing the barging rate to bring people over here so they can quarantine for 14 days on the island. I don't know why we're making it easier for people to get to the island to quarantine on Shebig, where we have limited resources. And it just doesn't seem like a good policy from a health and safety standpoint. And I don't know if Ralph is still on, but I'd be curious what he thinks. And then the other thing is, at a minimum, I think the town should request that people register, people that are not residents that are coming over, they should request that they register with the town as other islands have done. Islesboro has that requirement, so does Swans. I'm not sure which others. And it's really so that people know who's here, where they are, how long they've been here, and where they're coming from. And, you know, I think that information, you know, the way Islesboro has it, it's confidential. It's just, the town just has that information. But I think from a health and safety standpoint, again, and I experienced the other day, you know, the way I read the CTC policy, you're supposed to barge your vehicle over and then barge it back 14 days later. Well, the folks that I was interacting with, not, you know, not on purpose, had gone out and gotten takeout food, definitely within, you know, they had to be within their 14-day quarantine period. And they were, because their car was, they were, you know, moving around in their car on the island. And, you know, I just think we're adding to the risk of a fairly fragile system. And at least the registration process might make people a little bit more accountable. But also, I mean, if I ask the selectmen tonight, how many people have barged over from out of state? Do you know the answer to that question?
The answer is no, we don't.
Right, and even
I have a general idea.
I'm not quite, just a sec. I think another thing that would be helpful is maybe some, you know, reports from CTC on what the boat traffic and barging traffic is like, just on, you know, just periodic updates, because I think it would be helpful to know kind of, you know, how much traffic we have going back and forth, because I think it's pretty critical. And, you know, CDC is still recommending people avoid public transportation, and the ferry is a form of public transportation.
Okay, y'all set for the moment?
Yeah.
Okay, Donna, go ahead.
Yes, we are in, and Lila, I think, is on the call. She may have a better handle on this than I do. But Carol's been reporting, and Lila's been communicating with the CTC office as to how many are barging over, because we've put together a packet to give to the people who come over on the barge. And the reason that they did that on the set up that system on the barge is people were going to come anyway, and they did not want to risk the people coming on the boat not when they had a possibility that they could be infected. And that was the reason that was set up like that.
Discounting the fee, I just don't understand that. That sort of encourages people in my book.
What it was doing is encouraging them to come in their car and not contaminate other people.
But I think that if that information is being provided to the CART committee, it would be helpful to provide it to the selectmen so that they are up to speed on kind of how much the traffic is picking up and how many, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, non-resident individuals are arriving on the island. So we can just have a sense. And I'm not saying people shouldn't come. I just think, you know, it pays to be informed.
Okay.
There has been some discussion about registration, and Marjorie or Lila or somebody can, or David Hill can, chime in here. But when we actually drilled down and asked the people, I don't know about Islesboro, but Swan's Island, they, you know, it's recommended, but there's nobody who's at the boat who's actually writing down who's coming.
Okay. David, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that another reason to actually allow them to bring the car over for the 14-day period so they can load up for that period with food and provisions, so that they are not stressing our resources anymore or doing it in an unsafe manner. So in my view, yeah, it's not a perfect situation. I wish they'd stay away, but they're not going to, and we should do our best to mitigate that rush.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
I just wondered that all of those minutes from the CART meeting are public, and all of those, all of the meetings are advertised, and they're open to the public on Zoom.
Yeah, okay, unfortunately, Donna, for me, the meetings happen during the day when I'm working, and I did read the minutes just before the selectmen's meeting and couldn't find any specific information about the number of passengers they were transporting. The only thing I saw was that the ferry traffic was down 70%. That's the only actual information I could find. So I'm just asking, as a cooperative arrangement, that the selectmen be informed about how much traffic both on the ferry, I mean, in a general sense, I don't mean like for the NAS eyelash, but I do think it would be helpful for them to be aware because it is our link to the mainland and frankly, from a public health standpoint, a pretty important piece of information.
And do you think that's true for the Casco Bay Lines too, or is that less of a concern?
I don't think we're getting as much traffic, they're not barging cars over on Casco Bay Lines. I don't have a sense in my experience down there that there's anybody to speak of getting off the boat. But if that changes, I guess we could, we could ask the same. But it's a little different than barging a person over who's over here to quarantine from another location. And I think that's really my biggest concern. Or if the congestion on the ferry continues to increase and we're struggling with people getting back and forth in a timely way to get to work. So those are my two concerns.
Okay, thank you. I see three more hands, so I want to move this along, but go ahead, Donna.
I just want to say, we do know of people who have come on the Casco Bay boat to quarantine.
Is that anecdotal information or are you getting that from Casco Bay?
I got it from my daughter who I picked up at the boat when she came to quarantine. Yeah. And okay. then Lila has talked to some other people who came. Okay. But Casco Bay Lines doesn't know who's coming to quarantine.
Right. There's no requirement for anybody to say anything.
In fact, okay. Rachel, when she came from Albania, said that was the most, she had the most people she saw was on the Casco Bay boat in her whole trip.
And I think that's part of the concern of people, yeah. Okay, I'm going to let Ralph speak. Ralph?
I'm off, right?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Ralph.
Okay, so just two things. With all this information of keeping track of people that's coming to the island to quarantine, what's done with that? Is there anything that we're going to do with that, or is that just kind of useless information, really?
That's a question to Carol?
To whoever can answer it. I don't know what... It's great we have that information, but what are you going to do with it?
Okay.
I think it's just an indication of the amount of people that are coming from outside of the locale to give us some sense of, how many additional people we have on the island. And if there is a health event, at least you would know whether they still are within their quarantine period or whether they've passed that and whether they've come from a high-risk area. And that's the reason I spoke with Islesboro, and that's the reason it was really the rescue that asked that people register.
Okay. My second question or thought is CTC has given them a discounted rate. I too, not a big fan of discounting the rate to bring people over. But we've, for many years, talked about how many cars are on the island, and we've talked about limiting cars on the island, and now we're encouraging people to barge their cars over. And I have a pretty good idea that not everybody's going to barge their car over and back in 14 days. There'll be a lot of people that will keep them over here for a while. That would be my guess. But we do have a parking problem on the Stone Pier. And has anybody given any thought to how much of an impact this may have on that?
This board hasn't discussed that, Ralph. Donna, go ahead.
It was discussed at the CART meeting, and that's why they put the incentive in to get the people to take them off. But most of these people who are coming have houses here, and they have one or two cars already in their yard. and that was, this was really looking at the mainland car. 3 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure the number was 6 people who had, up to that point, who had come over. This week it was 10 or 12. I'm getting it mixed up, what, either this week or next week. One is 10 and one is 12. And so that's what they've had so far, people who have come with cars.
So
approximately.
Yeah, the busy season is getting closer. You know, we get July 4th, Memorial Day. Those are the big weekends, of course. It just concerns me about the parking, that's all. We're going to just keep adding more cars in. That was my concern, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Ralph. I'm going to recognize Lila.
How do I unmute?
You should be unmuted, Lily.
Hello?
Hi, Lila. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Hi. I agree with Carol about the desirability of having registration when people arrive. I think there are numerous reasons. I assumed that the fire and rescue would find it useful. I suggested this when we first started to be concerned about COVID-19, but I understand that our great 911 is ready to respond to wherever a message would come from. I think that encouraging people, not threatening them, but encouraging them to register with things that would bring them some benefit, particularly just information about how the island is working now and what they are expected to do to protect others as well as themselves, would be helpful. We are, from the CART committee, distributing through the CTC welcome packets that include information, serious information, about what people are expected to do coming over and self-quarantining, as well as some enjoyable things. But the CTC is only one way that people are arriving. Donna's right, they are coming on Casco Bay. I have anecdotal other information about people arriving to stay on Casco Bay. And Lionel Plant is also taking reservations. CTC is just beginning to see a real upswing in reservations. As far as we know in the CART committee, we have just projections 1 week to the next. CTC does not share who has made a reservation. They only tell us the numbers of people expected over, and we give those welcome kits to them for the captains of the day.
Okay, thank you. I see Jackie Trask's hand. Jackie, I recognize you.
Yes. Regarding, excuse me, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Regarding Casco Bay, I was reviewing their COVID policy today. And in general, they refer to the governor's mandate about public transportation being used for essential travel. And I believe I read that people coming from out of state, they are expected to self-identify at Casco Bay Lines, you know, their status as coming from out of state. And I believe I read that they are expected to stay outside on the boat. So those are, you know, interesting points about Casco Bay. About 3 weeks ago, there was, I call him the transient interloper. He came on Casco Bay because Kathleen verified that. He came walking down the Bennett's Cove Road with his luggage, and such as it was, and went to the shore, And, you know, my neighbor and I were very curious as to whether he, what his status was he going to spend the night? And he did not leave on the night boat. I, you know, sort of monitored that by going over to the boat. He came on the 2 o'clock boat. And my neighbor, 7 o'clock the next morning, he came walking down the road again. That was before Sheriff Mailman was on duty. I texted Mark. Mark came down, but couldn't see him, although he was apparently in the bushes because someone else saw him, you know, 5 minutes later. And his campsite in the Chandler's Cove field was identified the next day, and he did leave. You know, he was on the island 24 hours. He left on the 2 o'clock Casco Bay. But, you know, there are apt to be more of, that's the transient interlopers.
Okay.
FYI.
Okay, thank you. It's appreciated. Any further public comment for items not on the agenda? Courtney.
Hi. This is just my last quick comment, because I guess I kind of started this reign of thoughts about it, is that people are going to come no matter what, whether it's water taxi, Casco Bay Lines, CTC. And I guess my original comment was just to say, as a town, I would hope town people, residents, would have priority due to the stake that the town has in the CTC, because we do, you know, have funding from the town that supports CTC as taxpayers. So I would just hope we were a priority, and that was it.
Thanks for clarification.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything from the board at this point? We can take up that matters more seriously under other business, or we can discuss any action you'd like to take right now. If you'd like to, I would just open it up to the board briefly.
I guess I don't think we need to take action right now. Maybe we need a workshop to talk about this or something, or maybe the board needs to, I guess having a workshop and making, coming up with some specific questions, I guess. Maybe that would be it, that could then be discussed. But I think that CTC's funding from the town is indirect in that we provide floats, we provide, but we're not really paying, we're not subsidizing them, are we? I don't think we have a line item in the budget for CTC.
Well, we have a line item for the floats. If we didn't have that,
that's what I'm saying, it's indirect.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. They probably don't have a line item for the dollar they owe us every year to lease the lot either. Marjorie, go ahead.
We don't have one line item, but we do pay them about $75,000 a year.
Yeah, we're a pretty important customer, I would think. Okay, so hearing no further comments, is there anything further from the public on any items not on the agenda? Seeing no hands, we will move forward into regular business. Item 21047, to take any action from the public hearing for special amusement applications. So appropriate motions here would be to grant any of these, of the four.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
You missed the town reports.
I beg your pardon. I did indeed. Okay, let's do that. Marjorie?
On my town administrator's report, I just made a note that the vehicle registrations, including cars and boats, are now due June 12th. Are we there? No, that's another week away. The state had at one point suspended the need to have your vehicles registered, but now they're saying they need to be, if it has expired or is going to expire, you need to do it by June 12th. The county, I believe, has delayed their change in fiscal year. This was going to affect our 2022 budget. They said they were going to send out an official letter, but this came out in the Southern Maine Managers meeting. I have been getting a lot of emails from our project manager on the dredging project, as well as Gennaro. And they are talking to us about eelgrass mitigation. I sent back that I had some questions about that. At what point will this come up? Is it going to come up during our DEP permitting? But what they're telling us is that we're going to have to mitigate damage to the eelgrass one way or another. We could do a Maine has an in-lieu fee program, or we can mitigate it by changing out some of the moorings with a new style of conservation mooring. Mr. Burnett hasn't answered my questions, so I'm waiting to hear back from him. I also got a call from our landlord where we rent the cottage for the deputy. He was upset about some bills that he had received. We discussed that for a while. I mean, all I do is turn the water on and turn the water off, but I guess the gist of the conversation was that he's going to have to increase the rent on that cottage. So that would be something to think about. And I asked him if he had a figure that we would need to put into the 2021 budget, that if he could just let me know. And I haven't heard back from him about that. The Coastal Waters Commission met on May 21st. They suggested putting a seasonal float ever over at Cousins to relieve some of the pressure. I did get a hold of Nat Tupper, and he indicated that that would need a planning board application. So I don't really know where that stands. I mean, we would have to have some drawings done and, you know, submit something formal to their planning board to move forward on that. Does anybody have any questions about those items?
Where are we at regarding the upgrades we discussed for the Cousins side? We'd done some initial drawings, and I thought we talked about getting some more engineering work done to support the longer ramps and possibly trying to talk about more floats at that point.
I haven't gotten any specific instructions about doing any engineering. There have been a lot of different discussions. The Joint Standing Committee has discussed it with at our last meetings with the members of the Yarmouth Joint Standing Committee, but nothing specific in my recollection has come of it in terms of let's get an RFP out there, or, you know.
Okay. Donna?
Yes, I think several months ago, maybe the beginning of March, I volunteered to contact engineering companies to see if we could get someone who could do a more specific drawing than what we had from Dale Dyer. And I have to be honest, after COVID-19 came, I've had other things on my mind. Yeah. But I will follow through with that. I've got it on my agenda.
Okay. Okay, any other questions for Marjorie?
And did you want me to review that the paving report that I had, or is that for another time?
I was thinking of doing it under other business, but is that all right with everybody? In case we want to take some action on it. Okay.
Herb, I have a COVID. I have a COVID request. Because you have COVID on there?
I do indeed. Go ahead.
The CART committee is interested in doing some signage And having something at the Chandler's Cove Wharf and at the Stone Wharf, maybe Bennett's and maybe another wharf, there's still some discussion going on about that, where people enter the islands. Cliff Island has done something. The city of Portland has created something. We had Vinyl Haven has something. And so the committee is researching it right now. But the question came up about how much it would, well, we don't have an estimate yet, but how we would pay for it. And the $500 that the selectmen allocated for that committee, I think we've only spent about $40, and that was postage on the all-island mailing to date. So I guess the question is, would that money be available, and if it costs a little bit more, what would be the process for making that happen? People think it's really important to have some specifics when people get off the boat, if they're not getting this welcome packet that has all the data.
I think just writing up a specific proposal with language and sign sizes and specifications, that was clear guidance that this board could review and approve, I think would be the way to go, unless somebody has a different idea.
So the board wants to see the language before we do it. Is that the case?
I would think we would want to see all the specifications, the language, the size, where they were going to go.
Is it possible to have a meeting between now and the next one if we want to move forward with this?
Yeah, with the proper notice, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Marjorie?
Even custom metal signs are not that expensive, so I don't think we're talking about a lot of money.
Right. Okay. Anything else on COVID-19 that we should discuss? I mean, certainly the public comment items, were focusing on the COVID-19 situation. Are there other COVID-19 items that we should be discussing, or David?
It's just a report on COVID-19 testing and contact tracking.
Well, thank you.
Sure. I spoke several times with Jenny McPherson of Maine CDC, and I turned the discussion over to doctors Kip Webb and Jim Cox Chapman, and registered nurse Jenny Hackle, who are working with the Recompense Foundation to fund a COVID-19 testing and contact tracing program. And they considered a non-financial partnership with the town, but decided to go on their own with the support of Recompense. And that's underway, under consideration at this point. No town involvement is anticipated at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for David on that? Great. Anything else? Donna?
Yeah. One thing, I mean, I think we need to be cognizant of this. We're getting a lot of calls. Marjorie's getting calls. People on the committee are getting calls from people who are longtime summer people here, relatives of people who are here, who are concerned about some of our messages that we have put out, that people feel they're not welcome, that people don't want them here. And to that end, Melissa Joshua Davis is working on a project through the CART committee to try to create some focus groups. We've had people call in who are just really, really sad. And I just think that the board needs to know that, and the public needs to know that we have some people out there who are really, really sad, who are part of our longtime people. Some people lived here year round and have now retired, but there's a lot of sadness out there. So I just want people to know that.
Appreciate that. This COVID-19 situation has certainly brought a lot of those feelings out in a lot of places. Okay. Anything else on COVID-19 before we move forward? Okay. David, thank you for that turning me back around to item 5.
Quite all right.
All right. Regular business. 21047, to take any action from public hearing for special amusement applications. So we have four applications on the board, and appropriate motions would be to permit those. If there are any restrictions, they should be clearly noted at this point in time. Marjorie? Go ahead, Marjorie.
Well, just to reiterate that the fire inspections haven't been done for the inn or the boatyard.
Okay.
So and any motion, motion should be pending completion of the fire inspection and the receipt of updated certificates.
Okay. So they could be, could we just generally say upon completion of required paperwork or requirements?
Sure.
Would that be adequate? Okay. And are we going to get paper documentation on the inspections that are happening? And that's been in the past that sometimes happens, and some that's kind of been kind of hit or miss. I mean, do we have good readable documentation?
I have the signed fire inspection paper for the slow bowel and for the hall.
Terrific. And that's the only one. That's the only one we're doing. We're not doing the health inspections, right? Or
all the ordinance says is that we are required to have that on file.
Ah, okay. Okay. So with that, I'll accept any motions the board would like to make.
I have a question first before we have a motion. Just to clarify what Marjorie said. So we can grant the special amusement park amusement permit, even though they haven't had a vigilance license. Is that right?
It's this hearing is only for the special amusement license.
But so, what I'm saying is there any condition in the special amusement license that says that if they need a vigilance license?
No, you're right. That's right.
So they don't need it.
So for this, it would just be the inspection. Sorry.
The inspection of what?
The fire inspection that Ralph does.
Oh, okay, so that's all they require for this. I would be happy to make a motion that we grant these and that they be subject to the Slow Bell and the Shebig Island Inn be subject to music ending at 11 o'clock, which I think has been the case, but I didn't know if we had to be explicit.
Is that motion sufficient for you, Marjorie?
Well, it didn't mention the fire inspections, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. And subject to fire inspections.
Okay, is that motion?
Anna, could we add into that they have all the appropriate licenses?
Well, that's why I asked Marjorie the question about if they had to have a license in order to get this.
Well, what Donna asked is, do they have to have their Department of Health and Human Services certificate? And that is mentioned in the victualler's license ordinance.
So it's not a requirement for this one?
Unless we make it it.
Unless we make it.
Well, I would think that we would want them to have all licenses, you know, whether it's a liquor license, whether it's a vigilance license, whether it's a convenience store license. So I'm happy to do that, Jay, say, and all appropriate licenses.
Okay. Chris, do you have that motion in a fashion you could read back, or should we try to restate it?
I think that if Donna can bring it all together, it would be better.
Okay. You want to give it a try?
Yeah. All right, I move that we grant the special amusement permits to the Shebig Island Hall Community Center, Shebig Island Boatyard, Slow Bell Cafe, and Shebig Island Inn, subject to all inspections and all permits being on file, and that the Slow Bell Cafe in Chibig Island Inn be subject to music ending at 11 o'clock.
Okay, does that do it for you, Marjorie and Chris?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
No second.
Thank you, David. Is there discussion on the motion?
The use of the word permit, I assume, means licenses.
Okay, so yeah, do you want me to change that to license? Chris, do you want to change that to license instead of permit?
Yeah, sure, I'll change it to license.
Okay, David, are you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. May, I saw your hand and you took it down. You're welcome to speak, okay? If there's no further comment from the board, May has her hand up. Go ahead, May.
Hi.
Hi.
My understanding about the agreement that we've had in the past is that all outdoor music ended at 11 o'clock, which meant that if we were inside with the window shut, we could still be playing music on the in the bar area until later. It was the outdoor music that was the thing that was problematic.
Okay. Board?
It doesn't say that in the previous, I don't think it's written in the previous license or something that we saw today, that maybe it was in the packet.
I don't remember. Marjorie, do you have any sense about what the previous arrangement was?
What I have is from the planning board, which allowed them to be open until midnight. I honestly couldn't find a whole lot. I did find that they were supposed to stop the music at 11.
As part of this permit, the special amusement permit?
As part of past special amusement licenses, but I really couldn't find anything. Let's see. Yeah, there was a planning board meeting that extended their hours so they could stay open till 12, but that was a planning board permit decision. And I looked at a lot of the past minutes of the select board, and I really couldn't find anything whereby they even had a limitation on the special amusement license. They were just issued without any stipulation. I went through the last 5 years.
Okay.
All I could really find was a letter from Beth Howe, and that doesn't really mean any. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything.
Right. It's not official documentation. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, it was either the planning board or the board of selectmen that actually said there was no music after 11. The question I think May is asking, and I think she, last year she did a great job going by that, is it just outdoor music or is it inside music?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, and I've actually been managing.
So there's nothing in the planning board?
The planning board doesn't, so the select board decides this is part of the special amusement license. The planning board just said you can stay open till 12.
It's a general, yeah, more general. May, go ahead.
I was just saying that I've been managing the Slow Bell since 2016, and we've had indoor music from 11 to 12 and stopped the outdoor music at 11. And we've had, we haven't had any complaints between the 11 and 12 o'clock, you know, time frame. The only time we've ever had complaints is if anybody went over that 11 o'clock, which I'd expect to have complaints about that. So, you know, we have had very few complaints over the years.
Okay. So what's the pleasure of the board? We can amend this motion friendly or with an amendment, or we can vote on the motion as it stands. Go ahead, David.
Well, I think I'd like to amend it to allow indoor music at the Slow Bell until midnight.
Just the Slow Bell?
The
restriction was on both the inn and the Slow Bell.
Well, I don't know about the Ann, because their music's a little bit more. I don't know. I'll leave that for another motion. If somebody else wants,
I'm fine with a friendly amendment for the slow bell inside music from 11 to 12.
Okay, so we've amended the motion to specifically to the slow bell to allow inside music from 11 to 12. The inn is still restricted to stop at 11, period. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
I think, you know, what's fair for the goose is fair for the gander, so to speak, if that's the phrase. I would let the inn play music inside, which they never do particularly, until midnight.
Okay. Anyone want to change the motion? Jay, do you want to try an amendment or just leave it
as
a comment?
That's fine. I'll make a friendly amendment that we do that. We see how it works. And
okay. David, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. So Chris, what have you got for a motion now?
You couldn't hear me laughing because I was on mute. Well, it's going to read a motion by Donna Damon to grant the special amusement applications for the four, I'll list them, the four places, subject to all inspections and all licenses being on file, and that the Slow Bell and the Spiegeisland Inn can have music ending at 11 p.m. with an additional hour from 11 to 12 inside of the facilities.
Does that do it for everybody?
Yep.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. I will open it up to the public at this point. Anybody that wishes to speak on that motion can raise their hand. Seeing none, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay. So we have a few committees to form. The first of which, and this has been in my notes for some time, I think several months ago, one of the board members said, let's wait and take this up in May, and then I've decided to put it off until now. So item 21048 is specifically to form a committee pursuant to the tax acquired property policy statement to address property at map I-03 lot 008. This is the small triangular piece between Lindy and John Riley. At the base of their property that Marjorie's been working on for some time. My understanding of where we're at with this is that we've given them notice. The 90-day period for them to respond has elapsed, and that our action now should be to form a small committee to make a recommendation on what to do with the property. And in the ordinance or in the policy, there are several options offered to put it, to try to sell the property, to keep the property for a specific purpose or general purposes. And I don't remember the specifics of the other items, but the action to take tonight would be to form a committee. And the directives in that of that committee would be to follow the policy. And that amounts to bringing back a recommendation to this board for a disposition on the property. Any questions?
I have one question. I only remember when we did it the first time that we advertised to see if anybody wanted to be on the committee. Does anybody know if that's what the ordinance says? I don't have it in front of me.
I don't think so. I think it's, I'm sorry, Marjorie, you have it in front of you?
Yes. Do you want me to read it?
Please, just that.
It's a committee appointed by the Board of Selectmen and consisting of selectmen and appointed citizens.
Yeah. So it doesn't give a number, it doesn't give a, you know, it can be whatever we want in that regard. We don't even have to specify the people tonight if you don't want to. We could form the committee with a, you know, in some fashion that's reasonable and populate it at the next meeting if you want.
I think it would be good to advertise and see if anybody's interested in being on it that we might not think about.
Okay. Any other opinions on the board? Do we want to leave it open-ended and just say seeking a member for a tax-acquired property limited? I mean, these committees are formed for the one specific purpose.
Right.
Do you want to have a target number of people, or do you want to just see what we get and take it up later?
I'll see what we get, and then we can always recruit if we don't get anybody.
Okay. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So without opposition, Marjorie, do you have enough to go on to advertise membership in the committee?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. Then we'll move on then. I'll ask for any public comment on that just before we do go. Hearing none, moving on to 21049, to form a subcommittee of the board to assist in COVID-19 logistical planning for the annual town meeting. This is in response to a suggestion from Marjorie at a previous meeting that she could use some help and the staff could use some help in terms of how to carry out a town meeting in this with the current restrictions. Go ahead, Marjorie.
So I was hoping to have more information for you today at the Tuesday Southern Managers meeting. Kate DeFore was there from the Maine Municipal Association. She's the legislative liaison with the state. And she said that Governor Mills was going to issue an executive order either that day or the next day. Well, I haven't seen it come out yet, but she thinks that they are going to allow towns, number one, to use a total referendum voting process, even if you have not voted to do that. We have not voted to pass our budget by referendum. In other words, you'd have a ballot, like an election, and you would say yes, no, yes, no. And the other thing that she said is that she was going to come out with some more specific guidance if you want to have an open town meeting. So those two things I thought I would have to discuss tonight, but I don't have them because there's been nothing out of the governor's office. So we do need to strategize and talk about if we're limited to the 50 people, how are we going to have this town meeting?
Okay, so the platform could be a workshop, or we could do the committee that you suggested earlier. Can only have two selectmen on it, but it could be two selectmen and you, or we could do it as an entire board. David?
I just wanted to point out that the limit of 50 people is observing social distancing, and I'm not sure we could get 50 people in the hall. We might be able to get them in the rec center.
Yeah, I did a quick back of the envelope estimate on the rec center, and the rec center I believe is 60 feet by 60 feet. A standard basketball court is 94 feet by 54 feet. So I think that's probably 60 feet by 60 feet. And if you cordon that off into 6-foot segments, you could get 10 by 10 people, you know, taking up the whole thing. So you could get a maximum of 100 people with no alleyways, walking ways, or other things, and no consideration of, you know, people who are social distance, who are living together, could sit closer. So, you know, that we could get more people in there. It would have to be thought out carefully, and, you know, ways of doing that, probably signage, probably ways of queuing people like they do at Hannaford with some sort of, you know, 6-foot tape on the floor that allowed people to social distance. Could be done, but as Marjorie points out, you know, there'd be a lot of logistics involved. That's as far as I got with it. So, Marjorie, is a committee, would a committee still be helpful, do you think? Are you still recommending that, or what do you want to do?
Well, should I just approach Steve? I mean, that sounds like a logical approach. If you think, I mean, that's part of what I thought we'd need to do is look at the different places and see how many we could get in there with social distancing. But I'd have to approach the rec center and see if we could, if they would allow us to have the meeting there.
Right. It would have to be deconned afterwards, probably. Jay, go ahead.
A couple of thoughts. Has everybody looked at the Long Island plan?
I just skimmed it briefly.
Yeah. You know, basically, they're going to have, I think, multiple locations with registered voters only allowed to attend.
Right.
And they're going to have speaker systems at whatever location, and then they're going to basically merge the votes. Another thought, by the way, in terms of creating more space, we could get a circus tent type of operation in the ball field behind the school. You know, 80 by 40 gives you 3,200 square feet into your 36-foot square lots, you know, provides for a lot of room for people. So, I mean, I think that you're going to see some things develop because other towns are going to have meetings coming up in June. So anyway, if Marjorie would like something, I'd be more than happy to volunteer.
Okay, thank you, as would I. Marjorie, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that I briefly spoke with our attorney, Natalie, about having just residents only. She thought it would be problematic if you tried to keep non-residents out. You can definitely ask non-residents to sit in a separate place or a different place and prioritize residents, but I don't think you can just say they can't come.
They could be audio only, though.
Yeah, something like that.
We wouldn't have to require them to speak, although we traditionally do. Okay, David, go ahead.
Well, I just have a question. Has the state offered any guidelines for the possibility of a Zoom town meeting?
Not yet. As I said, I was hoping to get some more specific guidelines from the governor's office, and I do not have anything yet.
Because I think, I think a hybrid kind of a situation where people could come into either the hall or the rec center and go online from there, and everybody else can come online from home, so nobody would be excluded if they don't have a computer or the bandwidth.
Yeah, the trick might be the registration of voters. You know, like when you go in and check in and you get your flag to make sure that Zoom participants were checked in that way is probably what they're trying to figure out how to do. But Donna, did you have something?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think that we have a pretty mundane warrant. Not that, you know, that we want it to be exciting, but you know, compared to the one we had last year, where we had people sitting on the stage, we've never had anything like that. Even when we became a town, you know, I guess the first one we did have, we filled the rec center, but I just don't see, if we get the word out, the taxes are literally could be going down, and not a lot, but a little bit from what they were last year, and that everything is just about the same, I think people aren't going to bother to come. If we can if we can have that kind of a public relations, this is not going to be anything, no entertainment.
I can provide some if you want.
No, please don't.
I'm just kidding. Marjorie, did you have something? Did you ever have
I was just I didn't, but I was. I just did want to say that I do want to get some information out there to people. I was hoping that we could at least generally pin down how we were going to do our town meeting. And then I wanted to, you know, send out information about the budget and how we're not going to have anything on the warrant other than just the, you know, the bare bones articles and the budget, just to let people know what's going on. I think I'll do that next week, even if I don't get the information from the governor, but, you know, maybe I'll have something by then.
Okay. So I guess the question is, do you want us to wait, or do you want us to appoint a committee now, or how do you want to proceed? We can schedule a workshop for later on.
Well, I can contact the rec center and see if they would indeed let us have it there, and then, you know, do some hard and fast calculations to, you know, see if we could get 100 people in there with social distancing. It seems like that would be enough space, to me anyway.
Okay, David, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that Marjorie work on pulling together a plan, then we can figure out what we need to do. And we also have another urgent topic, that being the cart signs that Donna was talking about earlier. So maybe we have a brief meeting next week to take care of at least those two issues and anything else that pops up of any importance.
Any objections to that? I'd be happy to call that. Okay, let's sort of tentatively plan on that. And Donna, if you'll let me know how things proceed with that.
I'll get in touch with the people. We don't meet until next Tuesday, but I'm sure somebody will have a draft of something before then. But
yeah,
going back
week,
to the town meeting.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
But going back to the town meeting, if it's fine if it holds 100 people, but if we can't legally have a meeting that is more than 50.
Oh, right.
Right.
There is that problem.
Right. It's a changing landscape, and we'll just have to see. But it will be good. It's probably good to know if things do loosen up by then, although it's less than a month now, right? Or no, just about a month. A little more than a month.
Could we hold two meetings of 50?
In two different places?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, your idea of spilling over to the outside, piping sound out there,
mm-hmm.
might, you know, that might be a possibility. So, but I don't know if that's far enough away. I don't know what they mean by the same place, so we'd have to get some clarification. Marjorie?
Question, if the state allowed the referendum voting, would you be interested in that as an option? You know, we wouldn't have an open town meeting.
But I would personally, for just the budget, but you usually still have to debate those. I don't know how we would have a hearing on it.
Yeah, I need to get that information from the state.
But I would think if they okay it is ours is written, that would, I'd be fine with having a referendum one.
Yeah, me too. Okay, anything else on this topic before we leave it? So we're taking no action tonight. Marjorie's gonna go off and do some more legwork, and we will see where we're at the next meeting, which may be next week. Okay. Moving on to 21050, to authorize spending from account 9060 to replace the town skiff. Marjorie, you want to give us a little background on that? I think, you gave us a memo somewhere, didn't you?
I don't think it's in the packet.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, I sent an email with the different quotes.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Let's see if I have it.
So we have the Harbor Master boat, but we don't, the small skiff that we had sunk, and everybody said it's just not any good. So we got some quotes. There's one from, where is this from? Granite State Dock and Marine, and I don't know anything about boats, so this one is $4,000. Aluma.
What kind of a boat is it?
Aluma Craft V16, $4,000. And another quote is from Richardson's Boatyard for $5,066. This is a brand new Lund 16 SSV, whatever that means. And then the other quote was from Danny Todd to build a boat. That was for $6,000 for a 16-foot flat bottom punt, solid fiberglass.
Well, I think those Lund boats are pretty good. I mean, I don't know that much about them either, but I know.
That's basically what I take back and forth. And the SSV is the deep hull, the deep V hull.
Yeah, I mean, I like those Lunds.
Mine's 20 years old.
Wow, it survived 20 years at the Stone Wharf. That's amazing.
Well, only the last 15 have been at the Stone Wharf.
My impression is that the Aluma Craft isn't really of as high quality as the Lunds. So I would agree with that.
Okay. Mark, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the town administrator to expend up to $5,066 from account 9000-9060 to purchase the Lund SSV boat and require the harbor master to put some fendering on it to protect it.
Okay. Thank you. We got a second from David. Discussion on that motion?
What was the account number? Is that the reserve? Is that with the reserve fund?
Yeah, it's the one I have written in the agenda. 96.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I just read the agenda, Marjorie.
Got it. Sorry.
Sorry. Jay, go ahead. Jay?
Do we want to sign? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're
Do we want to spend any time seeing if we can find?
Find a used one?
You.
Yeah, you're dropping out, Jay. Try shutting off your video and just leaving the audio on.
I can't hear you.
Okay. Is it? Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yeah.
Okay, because my internet is unstable, it says.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if we could, you know, has anybody thought about looking for a used boat?
We asked at the boatyard and he didn't have anything, or Gennaro talked to them and they didn't have anything, but we didn't look anywhere else for used.
Okay, Mark.
I actually thought about that, Jay. So I took some time and I skimmed through Craigslist, which can show you any kind of a boat from 10 feet long to 80 feet long, basically, sometimes as a stretch. But basically, I didn't like anything that I was seeing. And, you know, unless it's a boat that comes from a lake that has been taken care of, sometimes you just don't get that great of a deal. So I didn't see anything that was going to be of significant enough of savings for us to consider, in my opinion.
Okay, Marjorie?
And what about the question of the motor that we have? Will that...
It's 9.9 horsepower. It's not going to push it any too fast, but it's going to push it. I mean, I have a 25 on mine, so I can zip right across. But Mark?
I actually talked to Gennaro about that specifically yesterday, Marjorie, and I agree with Herb. If you guys purchase the SSV 16 with that 9.9, that's just going to crawl along. I'm not sure how much smaller the SSV 14, which may be adequate. I'm not sure it's any less weight or disbursement, but it may be a question for you or Gennaro to ask the individuals up at Richardson.
Yeah, and taking into account the kind of use. I mean, certainly getting, it's certainly going to, 9.9 is going to get them out to the Harbor Master boat. It's, it might have a harder time getting them across the bay in a blow.
Yeah.
Well, what do we use this thing for?
Both of those things, I've been told.
And chasing clam diggers.
Go ahead, Marjorie, you have the floor. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things we use it for is when we put the floats in and take the floats out, when we have to go and do repairs at Cousins, and Gennaro uses it to get out to the Harbor Master boat, which is on a mooring. If we have a situation where we need a part for something quickly, we use it for that, you know, variety of things.
And the previous punt was, or was the previous skiff was, how big do we know? Is it a 14 or 16?
16 footer.
It was. Okay, so it's...
I'm sorry. It was a 16-foot Aluma craft.
Okay, so it's similar to what... The Lund might be a little bit heavier, but the glass boat would be a lot heavier.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Does not come with a trailer, but I assume we have a trailer that will handle it and the motor. Any other questions? We ready to vote on the motion? I would take any public comment at this point.
Was there a second?
I think it might have been me. I don't know.
I think, well.
Oh, you, I have Donna Damon.
Oh.
That might okay. Be. Is that correct?
That's good enough for me.
Okay.
I think I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I know. There's been a lot of discussion. Thank you. This is more fatiguing than sitting together in the room. Okay, I see no comments from the public. We ready to vote on this? Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Maine is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. To review the warrant, item 21051, to review the first draft of the annual town meeting warrant. Marjorie, I really appreciate you having that together for Friday in our packet. We've had all weekend to look at it. I don't think we need to go through line item by line item tonight unless the board really wants to. I agree it's getting late. If there are specific questions you have, or if you want to do that, I'll take you through it. But if you have specific questions, we can take them now. Mark, go ahead.
Mine's very simple. I went through and what probably ought to be page 5 at the bottom of page 5, but it actually says page 6. There's no explanation after Article 31, which is solid waste.
It's on the next page. It's on the next page, Mark.
Okay, maybe mine was just stapled funny. I'm sorry. I guess mine was stapled.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Mine looks like it was stapled with the pages out of.
Okay. Can you see it on the screen?
Yeah, I see it now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at the top of the next page. The one I got, it went page 4, 6, 5, 7. So, and then the other question I had was on page, the bottom of page 5, Article 25, Marjorie. Which is law enforcement. Does that have an explanation?
Same thing, Mark.
It's on the next page.
Yeah. I'm sorry. My pages were stapled out of sync.
That's okay. We're not going to fire the staple tonight, though, just so you know.
Yeah. Although,
go ahead, Marjorie.
Sorry.
That's okay, Donna. Marjorie, go ahead.
I did do the capped articles because I thought it would be faster. And if we have the capped article, do you still want the board recommends after it?
I don't think that's necessary if it's capped. How does everybody else feel about it? I mean, unless we want to, I mean, we set it. It's not like some warrant committee sets it. Or budget
I think that might confuse
it.
The public. Why don't, what are you recommending if you're doing it at all the other ones?
No, I mean, all the articles, I would just take out the board recommends.
That's what I'm saying is I think all the articles.
Right. I think that's the intent. Remove all of these.
Carver, excuse me for one moment.
Yep.
It doesn't matter to me. It just seemed redundant. If I put the number in the article itself, and then right afterwards I say the board recommends, it's sort of inherent in the article that that's what you're recommending because.
Well, I think once upon a time we used to take a vote on those and you could say the board recommends it 3-2 or something like that. And if that's not the case, then you're right.
Well, that's the most significant difference is if the board recommends it, it can be amended at town meeting up or down. If it's in the context of the article, it can only be amended down.
Right.
So that's the main difference between the two techniques. In the case of having it both ways here, this is going to trump it. So if it's in the text of the article, it could only be amended down, even if we have that line. Everybody understand that?
Yep.
Donna, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't remember there's any specific line in this that there was major disagreement on. Does anybody remember? I don't, you know, this is kind of, and maybe part of it is COVID-19 and we're just trying to get through it. So, you know, but it that seemed like that was the case. One thing I would suggest is if we can get the explanation on the same page as the.
This is just a draft.
Yeah. Right. So, I understand that.
Yeah, yeah, I would definitely do that. It's just, I didn't bother to do all that.
Formatting's a pain in the neck, I know.
Well, I would say take out the board recommends, and if it turns out that there is a disagreement, we can put it in for that specific article.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I don't remember anything that was particularly controversial. The one that usually gets discussion is the capital accounts one, so that may. The only question I had on the capital accounts one is do this by virtue of, like, we decided that we didn't previously have an account 9034 for the broadband reserve because this is the first time we've recommended funding it. There's no special action we need to take.
If you look below there, if you look in the article, or I don't know if it's above it or below it. Oh, see there, yeah, it needs some.
Yeah.
In the, where is it?
You had it before. Up, there you go, up. There
that's
you
the
go.
Explanation. That's the explanation from the previous one.
Right there.
Oh, this is it. No, you're right, David, yeah.
And to create a new capital reserve.
Ah, okay. So it's right in the motion.
Right.
I missed that.
No, that's good, Marjorie.
I wonder if we should make it, so that would be the purpose for which we could spend that for all time. Town ownership of infrastructure. Are you okay with that, David?
Well, we can always change it at a later time. It's by vote of the town.
The town, yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. That addresses both my questions. Anybody want to do anything further on the warrant? Now, we have what's our sort of our drop dead date on finalizing this, Marjorie?
The meeting is July 11th. We probably should vote on it at some time this month.
Okay. And if it's a, if it becomes a referendum article, do you need more lead time because to get ballots printed?
So then it would be a July 14th vote. It would be right along with the election.
Right. But you would, and would yes, you need a little more lead time?
We'd need more time because we'd have to give it to people with the absentee ballots, for instance.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what would that, what kind of time constraint would that put us under? What would be the date for that?
I'd have to ask Vika, the town clerk, but that's coming right up. I think that we have to have, we don't even have the ballots from the state yet.
Okay.
I don't know. Yes, it would require fast tracking all of this.
Okay. Okay. So the only other thing we could do to, yes.
Hi, sorry. This is Vika.
Hi, Vika.
I'm listening in with my mom.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So to comment on what you just talked about, the state is sending the ballots out. They said that we're supposed to have them this week, and we are basically at this point waiting for the ballots come from the state. Once the ballots arrive from the state, we will print out the town ballots, and we do already have a handful of people who've applied for absentee ballots. So we're looking to start sending those out probably within the next 7 to 10 days, at 2 weeks at the latest, I would think, because we can't really hold the ballots any longer than a couple of weeks.
Okay.
If that kind of helps answer your question.
Okay. So thank you, Vika, very much for speaking. So does that make it impractical for us to hold a budget by referendum? Should we not even worry about that option? I mean, it sounds like we don't have time to do that unless we finalize this tonight.
Yeah, right. I think unless you finalize something today or tomorrow, I would think that you would be putting it in a real time crunch.
And okay. We don't really even have the guidance from the state that would allow us to do that. So
Right. Yeah. We would be assuming that we would get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could we make a motion that was subject to, I mean, are we all in favor of doing a referendum if it is possible? I guess that's the first question. And because it seems as if, because of the state election coming up, that the state has got to come out with that decision one way or the other, whether we can do referendum.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Where was that?
I still don't think we have time.
Even if we approved it tonight?
Well, referendums aren't on this particular ballot, are they? Aren't they two?
No, this would be, the budget would be a referendum. So in what would you need to do? Type it up and so people could vote yes or no on each item.
I mean, I've never done one, to be honest with you. I've always done an open town meeting, so I'd have to research it. And
yeah, we probably have to send them out and get them.
Time.
Okay. Okay. I would agree with that. I don't think we should try to jam this through. Although I don't have any particular, I don't think there's a lot of concern of any particular items, but I think it would be a jam to get things printed and formatted and in the time that we're talking about here.
Vika's talking about 2 weeks from today, so that would be that she would definitely be wanting to send those out. Right, the absentee ballot.
She said 7 to 10 days, I think is what she said.
Well, then she said up to 2 weeks.
Oh, did she? Okay.
We do have We have people that have been waiting for absentee ballot for at least a week already. And because we have not received anything from the state, we haven't been able to send it out. So I think that if we wait 2 weeks, I think it would really be pushing it, because then some of these people are waiting for over a month. I think that if, you know, we could stretch it out, but I think with a topic like what you're talking about, I think that that's a whole new thing that we're jumping into that's totally unrelated to what we're already waiting to send out. I don't know if adding something this significant to it would really be efficient at this point.
Okay, thank you, Vika. Okay, so where does that leave us? Our choices are to approve this warrant tonight with the deletion of the board recommendations, or we could just see another version of that if we have another meeting in a week, if people want to have another look at this. What's the pleasure of the board?
Well, is anything going to change in a week?
Don't think so.
Well, I could clean it up and have a clean copy for you to sign.
I mean, I haven't checked the math like I usually do, but I'm sure Marjorie has, and I'm fine with it. So either way, it does need to be cleaned up before we can sign it anyways.
Yes.
I'm willing to approve it tonight and trust Marjorie to compile that and get our signatures as she needs to. But David, go ahead.
Yeah, I move that we approve the warrant drafted and amended, to be amended tonight.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, is there discussion on the motion? Okay, I'll open it up to the public, all four of them, three of them. hands.
Beverly and Vika are together.
Oh yeah, four of them, okay. Seeing no hands, I will take a roll call vote to approve the warrant as drafted and amended this evening. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay. Communications. We had the only major communication I had, which came to Marjorie, and I think she forwarded it to perhaps all of us, was the Cumberland County Caucus. Did you report that to everybody, Marjorie? The Cumberland County Caucus?
I don't remember. Sorry.
I don't remember either. No,
I don't think so.
Okay. This is the Cumberland County Commissioners Caucus in order to, I think they're developing a slate for themselves, and they invite all the municipal officers to attend. Looks like they're gonna do it physically, because they talk about masks and that sort of thing. Why don't we, why don't you forward that around to everybody, Marjorie? And if there's, okay. If there's interest in attending, it doesn't need to be a board action.
It's about can attend if you want to be on the Cumberland County Finance Committee.
Okay, right? But it's a caucus that they're asking for participation, okay, from all the towns, I think. But it is the slate that they're trying to come up with, I think, is the Finance Committee. That was my reading of it. I'm sorry, I do have it. Wait a minute. Let me put it up quickly. I apologize. All right, District 3 Finance Committee, pursuant to this on Tuesday, July 21st, all of these municipalities are caucusing. All municipal officers are invited to attend each respective district and vote for one Cumberland County Finance Committee member for a two-year term. So it's our opportunity to participate in the process of picking the Finance Committee for the... And they talk about best practices, so it appears they're doing it in person. Okay, that was the correspondence. Marjorie will forward it to you. I think I can't imagine there being any objection to anybody on the board if somebody wants to attend on behalf of the town. Unless there's an objection, we'll just leave it at that. Okay, the other correspondence I had was an email from Sam McLean, which I told her I would bring to your attention. No, that's not the right one. No, I'm confused. Where's the meeting? Maybe I didn't go down far enough. Oh, here it is. Okay. This is from Sam McLean, May 27th. Marjorie asked for Bob Ernest to weigh in on it, who is in on this thread. It is wondering whether we could introduce a proposal to ban the wholesale spraying of unspecified pesticides on lawns and on the island. Last week, a truck with no identifying signage, formerly known as True Green Chem Lawn, came over on the barge and sprayed several large lawns at Cottage Road, leaving a tiny sign advising one to refrain from walking in the lawn for a minuscule amount of time. Unfortunately, birds, bees, and other insect life cannot read such signs. Birds and busy nesting, feeding their young, are particularly drawn to open lawns in search of food. Bees are visiting wee blue violets and intersperse themselves among blades of grass. Coincidentally, all the lawns belong to seasonal residents, all but one are direct oceanfront properties. Why they find it necessary to support those chemicals, she doesn't know. Daughter-in-law is a chemical engineer, but it doesn't take a degree to figure out that this stuff, pardon my paraphrasing, lasts for quite a while. So the comment is, can we introduce an ordinance to restrict the spraying of pesticides on the island? So I'll leave that out there for you at this point. If anybody on the board would like further information, they can contact Sam either, you know, she can bring something to town meeting herself. I explained to her that we weren't likely to take any act, that this would be a town meeting item, and that we weren't likely to take any action at the annual town meeting because our desire to trim it down, but that there would be probably a special town meeting later on. So there's time for her to address, petitioning if she wants to, or working with a board member to bring something to the board. Any questions on the communication?
So I just had a question. So they put a sign by the place, but it is a little sign or something. What did you say?
Yeah, right here. Leaving a tiny sign.
A tiny sign. I mean, in full disclosure, I am severely allergic to pesticides. And so for somebody like me, if I were walking along that road, I would break out in a rash.
Okay.
You know, and I want to advocate for the birds and the bees as well.
Okay.
But it does impact people as well as birds and bees. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, Mark, go ahead.
I would be interested in having us talk about this at some point for some possible workshops or public discussions. I share some of her concerns, and I've seen some of this firsthand right on the shoreline zone. It's just unbelievable to me. So thank you for bringing that.
Do you think it would be appropriate to combine it with a discussion about herbicides and fertilizer? Or are they separate items?
It's anything's appropriate in the discussion phase. They might need to be separate ordinances for other reasons, but yeah, we can certainly.
But I mean, I've heard a lot of people complain, or not complain, but have concerns that have been expressed to me about fertilizer and the green slime that we're seeing all around the island. And so, it might be while we're at it, we might as well look at all aspects.
The green slime in the water. The green slime in the water, in freshwater or saltwater?
Saltwater. It's when it comes, what happens is if you put a lot of fertilizer and it runs off, it changes the salinity and the, so you get this green slime. We actually had it down in front of our house on ledges. I've never in my whole life seen that stuff on the ledges there.
Okay. I'd be happy to schedule a workshop sometime between now and a special meeting to take that up. And anybody is free to get more information from Sam. Any objection to that, setting a workshop? Okay, no. That's what we'll do with that. Okay. Back to the agenda, if I can find it again.
Approve the minutes.
Thank you. Go ahead. Is that a motion, Jay?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of May 20th, 2020, as written.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, I guess David got in first. Thank you. Either that or I cut you off, Donna. Sorry. Roll call vote. If there's no discussion. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
David, can you confirm that was a yes?
Yes, that was a yes.
Okay. You got slowed. You got spread out there.
Sorry.
That's all right. Mr. Main is a yes. That passes unanimous. Okay. Other business. I had two items, if we're not too fatigued to talk about them. One is the road surfacing project, and Mark and the road commissioner Marjorie have been most involved in that. So I'll let one of you give us a briefing on where we're at with that.
Mark had asked the board. Yeah, he sent the board an email about specific locations. And this is just my report on what I'm seeing. Do you want to go through everything?
It's the board's pleasure. Do you want to just ask questions of Marjorie, or do you want to go through the details? Mark?
I just have some very quick observations and points of concern, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously, you all know that we have authorized Marjorie to sign a contract with Allstate Asphalt to do a lot of work, and one of the two of those are specific to her memo being a double chip seal on South Road from Roy Hill to the inn, and a overlay of Firehouse Road. My concern about South Road with the double chip seal is I'm not sure I can back doing that double chip seal without at least some strong consideration of replacing just about all of the old galvanized culverts that are under there now. I understand that two or three of them are functioning because I've looked through them and they are draining water, but I'm just afraid that that may not be our best investment, I guess is a good way to put it. So that's my concern about South Road. And also, even digging up those rocks and redoing that big culvert between Cap Leonard's and the library, you know, I just don't know, given that list of possible work, if we can get that done and have it be compacted and have some time to settle before we surface it. So that's my concern of sell-through. And then I just had a question, Marjorie, if I may, specific to Firehouse Road. Is it your opinion that you guys intend to replace the culvert that's presently under South Road, right across from Nathan Doughty's, that feeds the ditch that we intend to repair with our drainage easement by Roy Jackson?
Okay. You said South Road, but you meant Firehouse Road, right?
I'm sorry, Firehouse Road. In other words, go ahead.
If it's, yes, I'm quite sure that we are. If it's on the CV and Mahar plan.
Okay.
I don't have the specific homeowners, but I believe this, the one that I'm looking at here is Nathan Doughty's.
Yeah. So my point to my question of Firehouse Road preparation before we overlay that road with new cold mix pavement is that the culverts under Firehouse Road, right from Nathan's driveway that feeds the ditch, the problematic ditch, Roy Jackson gets replaced. And then there's one more. If you head towards away from there, right between John Riley's driveway and the property that belongs, I believe, to Lindy Smith, which is right above the Tozier property, there's another old rusted out galvanized one that I really think we should get replaced.
Yes, on the plan, there's two more.
Okay.
On that side of Riley's property.
Yeah.
That are old galvanized. And my last discussion with Bo is that he agreed that if they if they're old galvanized culverts, that we're going to replace them, as this plan says, with a 15-inch HDPE culvert.
Great. And then my last comment on Firehouse Road is I noticed that Nathan Doughty's driveway culvert is completely collapsed, and the driveway culvert going into Dave O'Donnell, which is right after Nathan on the right, is also completely collapsed. So the only reason I bring that up is for that ditch to properly function, I believe probably those two driveway culverts may want to be considered.
Right. It's on the plan. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. So my biggest question and concern, you guys, is really South Road. I just want to make sure that if we're going to need more time for the crew, or we're going to want to replace more than Marjorie is proposing on her list, that we take the time and maybe even consider that we may not be ready to double chip seal this section of road by, let's say, August, July. I don't know when they're thinking it's coming.
Okay. Donna, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about the, you're on Firehouse Road now, but I wanted to talk about the comment about the drainage from Julie Doughty's property that comes across the road there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question of her, of that property, you know, being corrected at the expense of someone else. I mean, I know my husband has spoken to Greg Melkonian, and when we did the secret road culvert years ago, Ken Hamilton and I spoke with him, and I'm pretty sure Greg Melkonian's on board with this. But the problem with the water that runs off from the property on the other side of Julie's house, where the vacant lot is, or garage is that it runs into the road. And in the winter, it is very, very slippery. I mean, I've fallen down walking with grippers because it just ices across there. So it's really more, it's a problem for in the winter. And if there'd be some way to keep that water from draining across the road and making it icy, I think we should do it. And I guess I'm with Mark. If we don't have time to do all that correctly, then we should wait and get it done, all of those culverts, because I think I mentioned this before. I mean, I was on the board, the Cumberland Selectmen, Cumberland Town Council, when they did the, you know, a really great job of South Road. And then within months, they had to dig it up because the culvert failed by the tennis court. And we took a lot of complaints on that. And so I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. I'm sorry to have a better drawing, but this is the one that was in the road plan. So there's the store, the parking lot for the store, and the water pooling here and sheeting across the road here is what you were talking about. That's the
right,
new
that's
culvert.
In the winter, that's where it freezes.
And that's the new culvert being proposed. Okay. So Marjorie, do you have any comments on the road crew's availability or ability to do any of this work in the time required or Allstate's required schedule?
Which ones are you proposing to do? All of them? Is that what you?
Well, I mean, what we've done is authorized all states to do all this work, and the concern now is that we don't think we can prepare at least this area on South Road by the center in time to do that. So there's no proposals in play right now, but given the current your current direction, which is contract with all states for all the work and do the preparation. Do you think that the preparation that we're talking about now can be done before all states wants to pave or not?
Again, I'm confused about, do you mean all of the things on this list on the
we can take them separately, but I'm yes. I mean that we've authorized you to sign a contract to do a certain amount of work. Can we prepare all that work or not?
I apologize, but I'm still not clear on, so you're going to put the new culvert in that's proposed? Is that, yes?
Let's go about it this way. Normally what our plan is that the road committee comes up with a road surfacing plan, and the drainage is, we try to do that a year ahead, which we have done in this case. And that sort of puts the road commissioner on notice that we need to prepare for that road work that's in the plan if we accept the plan. So a lot of things have happened and, you know, road preparations and culvert work hasn't been able to occur. So we just need to figure out what to do going forward here. If as a road commissioner, you think that paving over these existing culverts and this existing work is the right approach, then we're willing to listen to that. Mark has expressed a different opinion, so we just need both sides of the perspective so that we can figure out what to do.
Okay, so first of all, I had completely forgotten that this road plan included a section on, it was on page 6 of 7. I hadn't looked at that since we did the road plan. Okay, so that's number one. So what you're asking is, can this work be done? So you're saying the new culvert and I still don't know which culverts you want to do. Are you going to do the one at the bottom of Roy Hill Road? There's a brand new culvert that you want up by the store.
The proposal in play, Marjorie, and we'll take your opinion on it, but the proposal in play is to replace all of the metal culverts with plastic ones. And I don't know which are which. I mean,
I don't think we should rush and try to do it. So I guess my apology is that it wasn't even on my radar that this was supposed to be done before the chip seal.
Okay, that's fine. So that leaves us to sort of, have we signed the contract with Allstate yet?
Yeah, it was approved. So I guess I'll have to backtrack and get a hold of Jerry pretty quickly if we're not going to do it.
So either reschedule or put it off altogether. Mark, go ahead. You've had your hand up.
Yeah, and I would also like to apologize for this backtracking. It certainly wasn't intentional on my part. I met with Jerry, as you all are very aware of, came over. We tried to get a list for consideration of road surfacing. It wasn't until I was riding around with him and that week after he left that I really took one more good look at drainage and specifically culvert pipes through that stretch of road. So I'm very sorry that we really don't have a high functioning road committee at this point, and we're trying to finish up our road plan. So it was not my intention to derail part of this contract with Allstate. I'm afraid it's probably not going to be as simple as taking this $91,000 off of our contract and the balance is the contract minus $91,000. The price of the other ones may go up because we're taking volume off of our contract, unfortunately. So I'm willing to help with considering some other stretch of road if the board or Marjorie would like me to help with that, to try to right this ship a little bit. I just don't want to rush into doing a stretch of road if we feel like we're not there, that's all. So, sorry about that.
Go ahead, Donna.
How about, and I don't know, because we're only looking at this neighborhood, but what else has to be done if you started at the end of Firehouse and went to the hotel and just left this for next year? Are there other culverts that have to be replaced between Firehouse and the inn?
It's not in this document.
Marjorie's got her hand up.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Marjorie. Thank you.
It's just a question. On that map that's in the road plan, it says North Road. That's not North Road, is it?
Well, I thought I fixed that. That was a typo that I thought had been fixed. It does say North Road. That was pointed out to me before. I thought I fixed it. All kinds of culpability here. I don't think there's any culpability here. I mean, there's a lot going on this year. I think we just need to figure out how to go forward. But I do agree we shouldn't be, using taxpayers' money if we're not ready to use it. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, go ahead.
Could I just kind of try to answer Donna's question?
Yep.
I don't believe that from Firehouse Road on South Road, from Firehouse Road, heading up to the Shebig Inn, that would be problematic to receive the double chip seal. Whether that's a good thing or a feasible thing for us and Allstate Asphalt to do, I don't know. And whether they can blend that double chip seal into that area again once we get the rest of those repairs done, that's a question for Jerry.
I figured it might, was a compromise, you know, that not compromise, but that it might, it would, at least we'd have some, you know, that's a big stretch of road, and that maybe that would help to, you know, keep the price down if he was willing to do it and could do it. Like you said, how will it blend together? Yeah.
Okay. So I think where we're at is to give Marjorie some guidance and maybe assistance in going forward with the drainage aspect of the plan. The road committee typically doesn't deal with drainage. We just deal with the road surface, and it's unusual for us to pick out a drainage thing and recommend it, but we do occasionally. But it's not something we normally do. We have the culverts mapped, and normally the public services will, you know, has a good idea of what needs to be replaced and what doesn't. So I think the way to go forward here is I think Marjorie needs to put all states on notice that we don't feel like we're ready to do at least this stretch of the road. And if there's no objection, that we could let Mark assist in conversations with all states to try to come up with a creative way to, do the work and have the least negative effect possible on the price or on our commitment to all states or on the taxpayers. Go ahead, Mark.
I would rather just have Marjorie contact Jerry and let him know that we've got some concerns from Roy Hill to Firehouse on that stretch of South Road and ask him if we should forget the entire Roy Hill to end stretch of South Road for the double chip seal, or whether we could do from Firehouse Road to the end this year and blend the rest of it in next year. That's what I would prefer.
Okay. Are you clear on that, Marjorie?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments from the board on that plan of action? Go ahead, Donna.
No, I think that makes sense. But I also think that sooner rather than later, if we're not going to do this from Roy Hill to Firehouse, that we should get, you know, start working on those, whatever improvements need to be made. So, because the longer they sit, the better it will be in the long run when we actually cover it, because they need to have a certain amount of compacting. They need to have time to settle, and we get a better job, I think, in the long run. So that's something that, you know, maybe could be started sooner rather than later.
It's a fairly old map that shows all the culverts. So these are the ones that are sort of causing the concern right now. There's a couple of, Jim, Mark, do you know if these need to be replaced? There's four more between.
Between where?
This shows actually five more. This shows below, this is Firehouse here. So below Firehouse, it shows, this is the one draining the pond, the fire pond. One, two, three, four, five. This is the one by the tennis court that we've been talking about.
We just checked those. I don't think any, I think they're fine, but.
Okay.
I didn't notice any problems in that area.
Okay. All right, so it's really just this section here that's causing the question, and that there's an additional culvert right here that that Mark discovered, or the public services crew discovered, that's been talked about. It's not showing on here, but it's a culvert, kind of a weird little culvert.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was going to say. I think that we need to have somebody look at that and see if, because I drove down through there, and it looks like somebody just kind of hollowed out a hole for the water to kind of go down through. That the whole Roy Hill Road, when it gets down to the tide part, it doesn't really have very gutters. The road is kind of the gutter. And so yeah. It kind of just, so that probably needs to have some attention before, if, you know, if we're going to wait to get what, to have, maybe we're going to have somebody look at it. Do we put in a real catch basin, or what do we do with the water that comes down that hill?
Okay, so the plan is to try to leave this segment of the road work out of the plan and see what, how that affects the contract. And if we have to be creative and fill out the contract somewhere else, then we'll get, you know, we'll put our heads together and do that. Is that the approach? Okay, sounds any further, yep. Any further comments? Okay, thank you, Mark and Marjorie. The only other new business I had on here was a discussion of Marjorie's notification to us for leaving our service. And we got a subsequent email. I'm not going to put the correspondence up. The only action that we may want to take immediately, unless we want to do something different, and Donna sent something at the last minute today that I only had a chance to scan. Did you send that to everybody, Donna?
I did. I thought okay. I sent it at noon, but that's it was fine. So crazy. I must have forgotten to hit send.
It's fine. We have some time. So maybe we don't need to bring it up tonight. I just wanted to acknowledge the letter of resignation from Marjorie and the subsequent email that where she offered to work, but no later than to continue on with us, but no later than March, no later than November. but, you know, out of respect for Marjorie, I'd like to move this process along as fast as we can and still arrive at a good solution. So what's the board's pleasure? Do you want to wait and review Donna's suggestions and take it up, or do you want to just take Marjorie's suggestion initially and set up a committee to do that review and bring it back to the board?
Let's talk about it this week.
What Mark, is the yes. suggestion?
There are two. Donna has sent a letter that we haven't really had a chance to digest, which has a procedure laid out for how to go about this. So the suggestion is we digest that and take it up next week. The other suggestion is we go ahead and form a committee to do that work. And so, Mark, you wanted to talk.
Yeah, I think we should take the time to read it, digest it, and revisit it next week.
As a board, okay? We consensus on that point?
Yes.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify. I don't know why I wrote confidential. There's nothing confidential in there. But the maybe I thought it was when I started to write it. But basically what I did is I outlined what I remembered from the previous searches. We tried different technique, different approaches. I had a conversation over the weekend with Greg Hanscom, who helped us in our last search when we hired Marjorie. He did a great job finding her. And so he gave me some suggestions of process. And so, I mean, I just threw it out there as a place to start. But I think if we do it as a committee of the whole, and you know, talk about it next week is yep. a good idea.
That's where we're at. That's what we'll do. Any other business anybody wants to take up? David?
Yeah, I just want to ask without objection permission to use the town Zoom account for the 5 Historical Society presentations we're planning for the summer.
I have no objection. Any objection to that? All right, hearing none, go ahead.
Yep, thank you. That's it.
Marjorie?
There's a warrant for you guys to sign. It'll be here tomorrow.
Okay, do we need to come in the building now?
Do you need to come in the building? It's your choice.
I mean, are you going to leave it outside, or are you going to, is the procedure any different, is my question?
We will leave it outside, but if you want to just step in and use the counter to sign, that's fine.
Okay. Are you requiring masks in the office or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
I'd like to say one thing. I just want to thank Marjorie for being so generous with her time that she's willing to give us hopefully more time than we need, but she certainly did not have to do that. And thank you, Marjorie. You are a real professional.
Amen. Thank you, Marjorie.
Yes.
Concur. Okay. With that, we'll let her go home.
Move.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Take your pick, Chris. Mr. Corson? This is a roll call vote. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Definitely.
Mr. Main is a yes. It passes unanimous. I will schedule a meeting for next week. Try and keep the agenda short. Thank you all.
We'll try to get the words for those signs as soon as possible.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night.